Good morning. Today's daf is Kuf Chaf, second to last daf in the Masechta. We're starting in the Mishnah on Kuf Yutes Amud Beis. Ein Maftir Nachar Pesach Afi Komen. That's the Mishnah. Okay, good. We can go on. Okay, one of the final Mishnahs of the Masechta, and it deals now with the end of the Seder. The 10th Perek, which we are now finishing up, Yirtzeh Hashem today, tomorrow. Took us through the Seder night. Took us from the first cup of wine and took us through all four cups of wine. After having now concluded all four cups of wine, so now the Mishnah tells us that's it. The evening is over. The Mishnah does not tell us the evening is over in a very straightforward manner. It says so in a somewhat roundabout manner, in a somewhat ambiguous manner, and the Gemara, in fact, is going to debate exactly what the Mishnah means. The Mishnah says, in maftirin, now the word maftirin, so that much we could translate. The Rashbam points out maftirin from this from the Lashon of we're going to depart from one another, meaning we're finishing, we're excusing ourselves from one another. Right? When a person passes on, so that's a petira. At the end of Kriyas HaTorah, that's Haf Torah. So in other words, the word maftirin means, okay, we're moving on. So the nights are coming to an end. So ein maftirin achar Pesach, so after the Pesach, meaning after we're eating Karm Pesach, so what we don't do at that point in time is we don't have afikomen. Okay, good. Now, we know, what does that mean? We don't have afikomen. Now, from the way we speak on Pesach night, this is just the opposite. We have afikomen, meaning that's what we do. So, even though we have the word afikomen as part of our lexicon, we got to remove it from our lexicon, and we got to think of it in terms of how the Mishnah means it, because the Mishnah means it not the same way we mean it. We refer to afikomen as the thing we eat at the end of the meal. Okay. That's not what the Mishnah means. So what does the Mishnah mean? So let's start with the Gemara, because the Gemara is going to give two different explanations in terms of what the Mishnah means. Number one, my afikomen. So the question becomes, what is afikomen? I'm a Rav. Shelo yakru mechabur lechabur. So Rav says, you can't go from one group to another group. The Rashbam explains like this. In fact, I'd like to go through the Rashbam inside. The Rashbam is very clear in terms of how he understands Rav. Rav says that you can't go from one group to another group. I'm reading from the Rashbam, the first Rashbam of the Gemara. So after you finish eating at this group, that's it. Don't get up and don't go to another group and don't eat in another group. Don't eat pot. Now pot, of course, he means matzah. Obviously, it's a Seder night. But in other words, don't eat anything in any other group. Because what you may end up doing is you may end up eating Karm Pesach in another location. And as the Rashbam is about to point out, our Mishnah is of the opinion you cannot do that. We go back 35 days ago in Daf Yomi, where we had a discussion about the Karm Pesach. There were two options that we talked about back then. There was a machlokas. Either A, Karm Pesach can be eaten only within one chabura, but you're locked in. You can't go from one place to another. Or no, Karm Pesach, I'm sorry, no, I'm sorry. Option A, I apologize. Option A is that the Karm Pesach can the actual Karm itself can only be eaten in one location, but separating groups. Option B, Karm Pesach can be eaten in separate locations. Maybe I could take half the animal, eat it in here in this house, take the other half of the animal, eat it in another house, and you, the consumer, cannot move locations. Meaning once you have a location, you have to stay in that location. Okay. Those are your two options about how the Karm Pesach is eaten. So the Rashbam tells us that our Mishnah is holding like Rav Yehuda, the Pesach Nechal B'Shtei Chaburos, that the carbon Pesach itself can be eaten in multiple locations, Ve'ein Ha'ochel Ochel Pesach B'Shnei Mekamos. But you, the consumer, cannot eat it in two separate locations. Good. V'hach milsa d'rav ukmeh hasem b'shas achila avalach achila yechol le'ekor lomar hala b'chabur acheres v'lo kapit el alecho be'beis mekamos. And then Rashbam just simply reminds us that this is only while you're eating. After you're eating, you want to get up, you want to move around. You may. In fact, you remember the Gemara described the minug where after the meal was over, they went up to the rooftops and they sang hala on the rooftops. So that was the minhag back then. That was after the meal was over. So that's not a problem. The problem is during the meal. So what's the issue? So the way Rav understands our Mishnah, it means don't go to another group and eat in another group. Why not? because by accident, what I may end up doing is eating Karban Pesach in another location, and you cannot do that. Meaning you can only eat Karban Pesach in one location. The carbon itself can be divided in multiple locations, but you, the consumer, once you choose a place where you're going to eat, you must remain in that place. In fact, you remember, just to illustrate how strong Rav Yehuda feels about this position, we had a scenario where someone went to go to the grill to get the Karban Pesach. He took a bite of the Karban Pesach. Remember what we said? He's stuck, meaning he can't move from the grill. So then the Mishnah told us if the other members of the Chabur want to join him by the grill, they may. If they want to leave him there, it's not nice, but if they want to leave him there, they may. Meaning you're stuck. You cannot eat Karban Pesach in any other location. So what Rav is concerned with over here is that if I pick myself up during the meal and go to another group, I may end up eating Karban Pesach in another group, and that you're not allowed to do. That's an issur, and according to Rav Yehuda, that's an issur d'oraisa. And Rav is following the shita of Rav Yehuda. Now, mind you, as the Rashi points out, according to Rav, you can eat after Karban Pesach. That's not a problem. That's fine. Now, Rashbam tells us that Shmuel and Rav Yochanan are going to be arguing with Rav, but right now, for our purposes, we're going to go with just the first pshat of the Mishnah, and that is Rav's pshat. Ein maftir nachar Pesach afikamen means don't walk to another group. For fear that you may eat Karban Pesach in another group and violate Rav Yehuda's rule of eating Karban Pesach in two separate locations. Okay, and I'll come back. We'll come back to Shmuel and Rav Yochanan, so I just want to stay with Rav. And just going on a little bit further in this Rashbam, I want to skip a line, and because I want to explain the words of the Mishnah. How does the Mishnah read according to the Rashbam? So, v'hachi mashmalei. The last line of this Rashbam, where the Rashbam now goes on and explains what's the language of the Mishnah. Hachi mashmalei afikomen, afiko minaychu. Afikomen is a contraction of two words. Afiko, which means to go out. Minaychu from the word mana, which means kalim. Meaning, don't walk to another chabura with your kalim, with a fork, with a knife, with a plate, because what may end up happening is, like any good shmorg, hey, that looks good over there. What are you eating over there? Oh, that piece of meat? I'll take a piece of meat over there. So that's what afikomen means going out to another chabur with your fork and knife, with the kelim. Good. So pshat number one in our Mishnah belongs to Rav. Rav says, what does it mean? It means don't go out to another group after you finish eating in this group. And the reason why is because I may end up eating Karban Pesach in another group, and that's the prohibition. That's an issur in the Torah. According to Rav, am I allowed to eat after Karban Pesach? The answer would be yes. According to Rav, you're allowed to eat after Karban Pesach. There's no problem with that. The problem is that you can't, you just simply cannot go to another group because you may end up eating in another group. Okay, that's number one. And the word afikomen, according to Rav, means afiko, to go out, minaychu, with your kalim, meaning to walk around with a fork and knife. That you can do. That is pshat number one. We're up to pshat number two in the Mishnah. I'm sorry, in the Gemara. Ushmul amar kigon ardilai li v'guzai la'aba. Shmuel says, no, you know what the Mishnah means? It means like this. Let's say I were having a meal. How do I finish off my meal? I finish off my meal with ardilai, mushrooms. His dessert is mushrooms. Now, it doesn't excite me. It doesn't sound that exciting. Doesn't matter. He has mushrooms at the end of his meal as part of his dessert. And Abba, which is Shmuel's way of referring to Rav, Shmuel called Rav Abba, either was a term of respect and endearment, or that was actually his name. Rashbam goes with the latter. Rashbam says that was actually his name. His name was Abba, Rav's name. In fact, he was Abba Aricha, right, which literally translates as tall Abba. Could be that he was tall. Rashbam, sounds like from the Rashbam, no, that's the pshat is that he was tall in stature, and that's why he was called Abba Aricha. Either way, I finish off my meal with mushrooms. Rav finishes off his meal with guzlaya, geese, right? Meat. That was his dessert. I'd be fine over there. I'd be comfortable at that meal. Anyway, and the Rashbam explains like this. They give a totally different pshat in the Mishnah. Their pshat in the Mishnah is as follows: that what you cannot do is you cannot eat after your Karban Pesach, period. has nothing to do with moving from one location to another location, and has nothing to do with having Karban Pesach in two separate locations. No. You simply cannot eat after Karban Pesach. Now, why not? So again, let's go back to the Rashbam. We're going to look at the next Rashbam inside. Because the Rav Shmuel have a ragel lechol bekinuch suda kemenu patrios. Rav ragel lechol achar sudaso goes los. Okay, so Rashbam just gives us the dessert of both of these amarayim. Shmuel would have mushrooms as his dessert. Rav would have geese as his dessert. Either way, lashon afikomen hotziu vehiviu minei mesika. I want you to go get me some delicacies. Meaning, bring out dessert. Going to another chabura and snacking in another chabura, that goes without saying that you can't do. You can't even eat in this chabura any food after the Karban Pesach. Achar ha-Pesach shelo yovar mimenu tam ha-Pesach. And the reason why is because you want the taste of the Karban Pesach to linger in your mouth. So in other words, the way Shmuel understands the Mishnah, of Ein Maftir Nachar Pesach Hafikomen, no desserts. No desserts, because the last thing you want in your mouth going to bed that night is the taste of Karban Pesach. Ulefi Shedina Le'echah B'Sof Ala Sova V'chein Kol Karban Sidiv L'mach Shal G'dula K'derech Sham Lachim Ochlim. And the Rashbam says, and why? Why is it that we need the last thing in our taste and the last taste in our mouth to become Pesach? So the Rashbam explains for what the basis that we learned earlier, which is that when you eat Karban Pesach, you must be mostly full. You can't be famished and you can't be full. Your gas tank, right? Your stomach tank, if you will, has to be set somewhere around 3/4. Right, I know it's gauging how hungry we are is always a challenge. But in other words, your stomach tank has to be somewhere in 3/4, so that when you're eating the Karban Pesach, that will fill you up. That will be the last thing that fills you up and makes you satiated. Because the Rashbam reminds us that when you eat Karban Pesach, and the truth of the matter is when you eat any carbon for that matter, you have to eat it b'mashcha, meaning with respect, with stature. In other words, you can't eat a carbon as if like, oh my gosh, I'm starving. Let's go. That's not how you eat a carbon. So therefore, it has to be at the end of the meal. And because we want at the end of the meal, so therefore, the Chachamim prohibited desserts. Because if you know there's desserts coming, so you're not going to fill up on your Karban Pesach. You'll snack on your Karban Pesach, or not snack, but you'll gauge a little bit, knowing that there's going to be desserts coming up afterwards. So therefore, the Chachamim demanded that the last thing you eat that night is going to be Karban Pesach. Good. Adkan. All right, that's Shmuel's pshat, and as we'll point out in just a moment, no, we'll point it out right now, Rav Yochanan agrees as well. Rav Chanina bar Shilav, Rav Yochanan kigon tamarim klayos ve'egozim. And Rav Yochanan says, you know what I have normally as dessert? I have dates, I have roasted grains, and I have nuts. That was his dessert. You'll notice, by the way, that there are desserts and their desserts are two different desserts. We discovered this thing called sugar. So our desserts are just basically some form of sugar. Back in the good old days where they ate real food, so their desserts were like real food. Either way. Okay, Rav Yochanan agrees with Shmuel, which means that you can't eat anything after the Karban Pesach. The Armish has nothing to do with moving from one group to another group. Even in this group, after I eat Karban Pesach, that's it, no dessert. Okay. Tanya Kavasid Rav Yochanan in Maftir Nachar Pesach. Kigon Tamar and Klaus Vegozim, and then the Gemara quotes the Brisa, and the Brisa supports the position of Rav Yochanan. So, at this point in time, it's easy to say the halacha goes like Rav Yochanan. Why? Because, first of all, Rav Yochanan usually is the accepted position, even though, mind you, it's a machlok between Rav and Shmuel, and Rav Yochanan siding with Shmuel, but okay, but generally speaking, we go like Rav Yochanan. And additional to that is that we also just saw a Brisa going like Rav Yochanan as well. So, in other words, the halacha is after Karban Pesach, no desserts. Okay, good. Good. So now we're ready, if God willing, this Pesach. Mashiach has come already, we're in the Beis HaMikdash, we're eating Karban Pesach. So now we know. You're not allowed to have a dessert after the Karban Pesach. Good. What about nowadays? Meaning Bismanena, when we don't have Karban Pesach, so we're eating just matzah. So is the same halacha going to be true for matzah? So that's Gemara's very next discussion. I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm Shmuel, I'm Aftir, and Achar Matzah, Afikomen. So Rav Yehuda, I'm Shmuel, says the same thing is true regarding matzah. Meaning matzah should be the last thing that you're tasting in your mouth, and you shouldn't be eating anything after the matzah. Okay. And now you know, right, from our Gemara, that the reason why we refer to that last matzah we eat as afikomen is because we're following this rule of the Gemara. We're following Rav Yehuda Mishmuel that after I eat the matzah, so then I can't have dessert after that. So we kind of borrow the term. The term, the way we use it is not the correct way to understand it. Meaning afikoman really is a reference to dessert. It just means that for us, matzah at the Seder night becomes dessert. That's our dessert at the Seder night. There's nothing to be eaten after the matzah. Okay, really important Rashbam now. I know I did a lot of Rashbam so far today. Really important Rashbam coming up right now, and that's the following. The matzah that we eat at the end of the meal. What is that? I mean, I know, it's afikoman. But what status is that? Okay, so the Rashbam writes, "Ein maftir achar matzah afikoman, shetzarech lechol matzah b'gmar seudaso, zecher lematzah hanecheles im apesa b'kricha." Do you know why we eat matzah at the end of the meal? It's very simple, says the Rashbam. It's so simple. We eat matzah at the end of the meal to remind us that in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, that's when they would eat their matzah. Meaning, think about it. When in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, when you had Karban Pesach, when did you eat matzah? The answer to that is so simple. You ate matzah when you ate Karban. The Torah says, Al matzah somorim yochluhu. You eat Karban Pesach in conjunction with matzah maror. So in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, they would be eating matzah with Karban Pesach. When would they eat the Karban Pesach? Well, we just did that. They ate Karban Pesach at the end of the meal, not the beginning of the meal. So in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, so your matzah that you would be eating would come at the end of the meal, not the beginning of the meal. So nowadays, Rashbam writes, so what do? So we, of course, make brachas in the beginning, and we'll come back to that later on this morning. But then what we do is that we eat matzah at the end of the meal, because we're reminding ourselves that had there been a Beis HaMikdash, this is precisely the time that we'd be eating matzah. It's zecher l'mikdash. It reminds us to what was done in the mikdash.
Can you make hamotzi before?
Now, it seems, and the Rashbam is going to say it, so I don't have to conjecture. Yes, they would make motzi at the beginning, but they would make motzi just simply to start the meal. But in terms of the matzah, the mitzvah, meaning the mitzvah of eating matzah, that came in the end of the meal in conjunction with the Karban Pesach. Vizuhi matzah habitzua. I'm reading on in the Rashbam. Vizuhi matzah habitzua shanu ochlem b'achrona. This is a broken matzah that we eat at the end. L'shem chova. V'al karcheinu. I'll get to that. Well, hold on. So let me slow down. So and that's our chova. That's our obligation. So in other words, the Rashbam is telling us, I told you about this Rashbam earlier in our studies, but here's the Rashbam. The Rashbam now is identifying that the matzah that we eat at the end of the Seder, that's the matzah's chova, that's the obligatory matzah. Meaning that's the matzah that we're eating which fulfills the mitzvah of achilas matzah. Okay? V'al karchenu anu mevarchim al achilas matzah b'rishona al fapi she'enu l'shem chova. So now the Rashbam says, so what are we doing at the beginning of the meal? All right, so we're going to make all our brachas at the beginning of the meal. But the Rashbam says, but remember, that's based on a gemara that we did nearly a week ago. Remember, we discussed that the only vegetable you have at the Seder is maror. You only have the maror vegetable. So you're going to eat it the first time because of karpas. You're going to eat it later again because of the mitzvah of maror. When do I make the bracha? So if you remember, that was a machlokas between Rav Chista and, Rav Huna. And the Gemara there said, we're going to follow, I believe, Rav Chista. Yeah, I'm correct. Good. So we're going to follow like the position of Rav Chista. Rav Chista says that you make the brachos in the beginning, meaning both the Bor Pri Adama and the bracha of Asher Kishan Mitzav Sivanu Alamar. We're going to make both of those brachos in the beginning of the meal, even though the mitzvah won't actually be fulfilled until later on. So the Rashbam says it's the same thing over here. I'm going to eat matzah in the beginning of the meal. The meal needs to start off with matzah. It's got to start off with bread. So we'll eat matzah in the beginning of the meal. And I'll make the brachas in the beginning of the meal. But the actual chova, the obligation, where I'm fulfilling the mitzvah of eating matzah, is coming at the end of the meal, not the beginning of the meal, because it's at that point in time where if and when we had a Beis HaMikdash, that's when we would eat the matzah shechova. Good. This is the position of the Rashbam. Okay? Yeah, so according to the Rashbam, correct. Meaning when you're eating the afikoman, you should be saying to yourself, I'm fulfilling the mitzvah of matzah. According to the Rashbam. There's another side to the story. I'll get to the other side of the story later this morning. But in the meantime, however, that's the opinion of the Rashbam. It's a Right? Super important Rashbam in this discussion. Tanan, we go back to the Gemara. I'm on Kuf Yates Amud Beis, and we are together like about five lines from the bottom of the Amud. Tanan, in Maftirin Achar Pesach, Havikam, and Achar Pesach, Hu Delo Achal. I'm sorry. Hu Delo, Avala Achar Matzah, Maftirin. So the Gemara is attempting to make a deek in the Mishnah, where the Mishnah says, I can't eat anything after Karban Pesach. And one can argue, well, maybe after Karban Pesach I can't eat anything, but after matzah I'm allowed to. So the Gemara says, no, lo mi bai kamar. No, the Gemara says, that's not correct. Lo mi bai achar matzah de lo nafish tamayu, aval achar pesach de nafish tamayu, ve lo matzah avure, leislam ba kamash malan. The Gemara says, no, I can't eat after matzah, and I can't eat after Karban Pesach. Karban Pesach is a bigger chiddush, and I'll tell you why, says the Gemara. Because when it comes to matzah, to get rid of the taste of matzah is not so bad, and not so difficult. Matzah doesn't have a strong taste. Okay, it tastes like matzah. We know what the taste of matzah is. It's not a strong taste. So if I have a couple of desserts afterwards, so I'm going to get rid of the taste of the matzah. Karban Pesach, on the other hand, okay, that's grill, right? How long does a taste of meat linger in your mouth? Oh, I'll say about 6 hours. Hopefully you'll understand where I came up with that number. The taste of meat is a powerful taste, especially roasted meat. So in other words, is it easy to get rid of the taste of meat? It's really not easy. So one can make the argument, maybe matzah, that taste is really easy to get rid of. But meat, who's going to get rid of that taste in your mouth? So one can make the argument that I'm allowed to eat things after the Karban Pesach. So the Mishnah wants to make sure that we know matzah, it's a given that it's very easy to get rid of the taste, and I shouldn't eat anything after matzah. But even Karban Pesach, which is a harder taste to expunge, I still can't eat anything after the Karban Pesach. Name him Misayele. The Gemara quotes a brisa which would sound to be supportive of this din. Hasuv ganim v'hadushanim v'haiskritin adam emale kreisam ehenu v'ache yochal kezayis matzah be'achrona. You want to snack over the course of the meal, you can have sufganiyot, which I know means donuts. And it's very strange to have your Seder night with donuts. But sufganim, the Rashi says that they are like wafers that are soft like a sponge. And, on the Seder, it's hard for us to imagine on Pesach to be eating anything that's soft and doughy. Okay, but again, our inability to make matzah forces us to burn the matzah. Okay, but anyway, sufganim, dushanim, v'askritim, these are different types of pastries. Obviously, none of them are chametz. So, adam emale kreisa mehem, so you can fill your stomach with them. The only thing is you have to eat matzah at the end. Bachrona in b'rishon olo. You're eating it at the end, not at the beginning. So, once again, it sounds like from this brisa, like Shmuel, like Rav Yochanan, that you're not allowed to eat anything after matzah. Good, so we have a support for Shmuel and for Rav Yochanan. Again, the Gemara says, not necessarily, let me buy Kamar, we're on the top of Kuch Chaf Amud Aleph, let me buy Kamar, let me buy Brishon HaTekach L'Tehavon Avah Bachron HaDomas L'Mechel Achil HaGasa Eim Olo Kamash Malan. The Gemara says here, maybe it's a totally different concern, and that is the following. Let's say over the course of the meal, right, there was a ton of food, and we ate, and you know what, we're full, and now comes to the Afikomen, and we know we're going to eat it, because it's the Afikomen, it's a mitzvah to eat it, but the truth of the matter is we're full. That's what's called Achila Gasa. Maybe the truth of the matter is that this Bryce has no problem eating after the matzah. Maybe the only thing that Bryson wants us to wants to caution us is don't fill yourself up over the meal. Save some room for the afikomen, because you don't want to be eating the afikomen after you're full already, because that's what's called achila gasa, and under certain circumstances that's not considered eating, even though you're physically eating, but because you're stuffed and because you really are not interested in eating anymore, that's what's called achila gasa, and that may not even be considered eating at all. Maybe that's the chief concern of the brisa, but after they get matzah, you want to eat a little bit of food after that, maybe the brisa is not bothered by that. Okay, so Rav Yehuda Mishmuel says that I'm not allowed to eat anything after the matzah. The Gemara challenges from our Mishnah, sidestep the challenge. The Gemara tried to support it from a brisa, not necessarily a support. Okay, but the halacha still stands. You're not allowed to eat anything after the matzah. I'll just tell you, but not going to go through it inside. Take a look at the first Tosfos on Kuf Chaf, where the Tosfos over there discusses and deliberates which matzah is the essential matzah. The one that we eat at the end of the meal, what we call afikomen, or the one we're eating at the beginning of the meal right after we make the bricha of al achilas matzah. Take a look at Tosfos over here, who deliberates over that issue. Now, together this morning, we went through the Rashbam. The Rashbam had no deliberation. The Rashbam's position is it's the matzah at the end of the meal, which is a matzah shel mitzvah. Not everyone is in agreement with the Rashbam. And right on the daf, you can see Tosfos who suggests maybe that's not true. Maybe that's not correct. Maybe it's a matzah at the beginning of the meal. Marzucho, and by the way, that just to explain our practice, what do? So we eat matzah at the beginning and the end of the meal, right? In other words, and furthermore, what we do is that we eat a shear of matzah in the beginning and at the end. Meaning, if you were to ask the Rashbam, do I have to eat a shear matzah right at the beginning of the meal? No. In other words, the whole purpose over there is that I just simply am making motzi so that I could start my meal. Okay, maybe in Hilchos Brachos, there's a halacha that I have to have a kezayis after I make hamotzi. But from a mitzvah standpoint, you're not doing the mitzvah then. You're doing the mitzvah at the end of the evening. So if you ask the Rashbam, do I have to be careful about shirim at the beginning of the meal? The Rashbam would say no. You don't have to be careful, because the matzah shel mitzvah is coming at the end. According to Tosfos, and according to other Rishonim, no, the matzah that we eat at the beginning of the meal, that's the mitzvah. Afikomen, that's just the zecher. It just reminds us of what was done once past. And what we do nowadays, our practice nowadays, is that at the beginning of the meal we have the kezayis. Actually, truth be told, we have the double kezayis. Reasons will be explained on another occasion. And at the end of the meal, we also have the shear. Because of this uncertainty of when we're actually eating the matzah shel mitzvah, so we eat the kezayis at the beginning of the meal and at the end of the meal. Okay. Back to the Gemara, Mar Zucha Masni Hachi. We're going to have basically the same discussion in a slightly adjusted format. Well, the other, according to the second version, you're allowed to snack after the matzah. Okay, that's how Rav Yehuda Mishmol is quoted. So, name him Misayele. Now we'll use our Mishnah as a support, because the Mishnah says in Maftir Achar Pesach Afikomen. You can't snack after Karban Pesach. Achar Pesach Chudolachol Achar Matzah Maftirin. So, but it sounds like according to our Mishnah that you can snack after matzah. Lomi bai kama, the Gemara says, nope. That's not what the Mishnah means. The Mishnah means Lomi bai matzah delonafish tamayo v'alach pesach emalokamash malan. Again, I might have thought that the Karban Pesach, which is meat, it's difficult to get that taste out of your mouth. So buy matzah where it's really easy. I can easily argue, don't eat after matzah, you're going to get rid of the taste. But after Karban Pesach, what's the concern? It's the taste is going to linger in your mouth for hours on end afterwards. Still, the Mishnah is telling us don't eat after the Karban Pesach. Meis for the Gemara challenges based on the brisa sufkan and vaduf shen and vayskritim adam and malik chris mehem avavashi ochel kezayis matzah ba'achrona. Go ahead, eat during the meal. Leave room for matzah. Now ba'achrona in brishon alo. It sounds like leave room for matzah and don't eat any. Excuse me, and don't eat anything after the matzah, which would be a disproof for the second version of Rav Yehuda Mishmol. Lo mi bai kamar. So the Gemara says no. Again, stylistically, what the brisa means is, it goes without saying. Lo mi bai birishon dekach l'teyavon. In the beginning of the meal, you still have an appetite. Aval ba'achrona dasa l'mech l'achil agasa. But you're getting to the end of the meal. There, caution. You may end up getting full if you're eating over the course of the meal. You may have no room left for the matzah. You're eating on the matzah at the end of the meal may end up being a achil agasa. It may be just simply right, it's eating when you're no longer hungry, meaning, and that's not considered eating. So therefore, the brisa is not worried about eating after the matzah. The brisa is just simply worried about leaving room over for the matzah. So emalo kamash malan. So that's what the brisa is telling us, that even though that's a consideration, that's a concern, you're still allowed to eat during the meal, even these types of foods. Okay, so quickly just to recap, Rav Yehuda Mishmol says that this halacha that we learned regarding Karban Pesach, that I'm not allowed to snack after the Karban Pesach, is also true by matzah as well. I'm not allowed to snack after matzah. And I have to have the taste of matzah lingering in my mouth. Even though nowadays we don't have a Karban Pesach, but still the halacha is true by the matzah as well. Okay. We can ask a very simple question, which I'll ask. I'll even attempt to answer it. But it's a really simple question, and it's not that easy to answer. By Karban Pesach, we know why we're not allowed to snack after the Karban Pesach. Because when we're eating Karban Pesach, we should be eating it in a state of mostly full, right? Three quarters full. So therefore, Karban Pesach comes at the end, should be coming at the end. Matzah, meaning nowadays we don't have Karban Pesach. Matzah, you have to have the taste of matzah ling in your mouth, meaning you can't eat anything after matzah. Why not? Right? It's a simple question. Well, why not? Meaning by Karban Pesach, for the halachic reason which we explained. But matzah, what's the issue? So it's hard. It's hard to really grasp why it is. So one explanation could just simply be, well, in the good old days, matzah came in conjunction with Karban Pesach. So whatever rule was established with matzah with Karban Pesach is going to be established with matzah without Karban Pesach. That could be one possible explanation. Another possible explanation, which is how second Tosus on this Amud seems to express it, is that the last line of Tosfos, to be inan she'etam matzah u'pesach b'fiv, just simply, I need those tastes in my mouth at the end. Remember how we talk very often about how the eating on the Seder night is experiential, meaning it causes us to remember, better than remember, relive the Exodus. And so, and part of that reliving is coming through the experience of eating. So therefore, what the Tosfos sounds like he's saying is that I need those tastes to be the last ones in my mouth, because those are the tastes of freedom. So it could very well be that just like by Pesach, where I need to taste the Pesach, matzah as well, I need to taste the matzah. And even though nowadays we don't have Pesach anymore, but still we're eating the matzah, and I need the taste of matzah to be lingering in my mouth. Having nothing to do with I have to be eating on a three-quarter stomach. No, in other words, I literally need the taste on my mouth, of matzah in my mouth. That could be another reason why. Okay. Amar Rava. We're in the Gemara, we're starting now. A very basic discussion. In fact, this discussion that we're about to have is so basic, it's almost perplexing how it is that we're only learning this at the tail end of the Masechta. Amar Rava, matzah bezman hazeh da'araisa. There's a mitzvah to eat matzah nowadays, and that's a mitzvah da'araisa. Okay, Mara derabanan. The mitzvah to eat Mara is a din derabanan. So the Gemara asks the obvious question: Maishna Mara, dichsev amatzas Mari bezman deika Pesach yesh Mara bezman deleika Pesach leika Mara. So Mara nowadays, I understand, is a din derabanan. Makes perfect sense, because Mara is, the Torah tells us, has to be in conjunction with Karban Pesach. Nowadays we don't have Karban Pesach. Therefore, when we are eating Mara, it's obviously not a din daraisa. Can't you make the same argument by matzah? The Gemara wonders. Matzah nami haksiv amatzah samarim. Matzah samarim. Question. So doesn't it sound like that matzah nowadays should also be a din derabanan, not a din deraisa? Answers the Gemara. Matzah mehader hadar beikra. No, the Torah reviews matzah for us. Meaning, we have another pasuk that talks about eating matzah on the night. Independent of Karban Pesach, the Torah says be'erev tochlu matzos. That evening you're going to eat matzah. So Rava deduces that the fact that the Torah gives us a separate pasuk describing how we're eating matzah that night, that tells us that even if, God forbid, we don't have Karban Pesach, which we don't, nevertheless, the eating of matzah that night is going to be a din d'oraisa, not a din d'rabbanan. Ad kan divrei Rava. That's Rava's opinion. Rav Acha bar Yaakov amar echadzeh ve'echadzeh d'rabbanan. Rav Acha bar Yaakov, the second time we're going over the opinion of Rav Acha bar Yaakov in this perek, Rav Acha bar Yaakov says that the eating of matzah nowadays is a din derabanan, not a din daraisa. So Ela haksi b'erev tochlu matzos. So the Gemara says, okay, but what about the pasuk where the pasuk says you're going to be eating matzos? Sounds like it's a din daraisa. Nah. That's just telling me that even if I'm not bringing Karban Pesach for whatever reason, well, I'll give a couple reasons. Let's say you're Tamei. Let's say you're far away from the Beis HaMikdash. You're not going to be bringing Karban Pesach that year. Still, that night, you should be eating matzah. How do I know that? Be'erev tochlu matzos. That's telling me that even if you're not eating Karban Pesach, in a time when Karban Pesach was eaten, there still is going to be a mitzvah to eat matzah. Nowadays, however, where there's no Karban Pesach, according to Rav Acha bar Yaakov, there's no din d'oraisa to be eating matzah. Because look, here's what I would have thought. I'm Tameh, meaning it's the time of the Beis HaMikdash. I'm Tameh, I'm not going to Yerushalayim. Okay, so because I'm not eating Karm Pesach, I shouldn't be eating matzah as well. The Torah tells us that, the Erev Tochlu Matzah is that you should eat matzah. Okay, so that's the Din D'Oraisa for you to be eating matzah. But nowadays, Bizmanenu, where there is no Karm Pesach, according to Rav Acher Bar Yaakov, there's no longer a Din D'Oraisa to be eating matzah. Rav Amar Lecha, now let's just go through the thread first and then we'll come back and we'll discuss a little bit. Rav Amar Lecha, Tamei V'Shea B'Derech Rechok, Lo Tzarech Kvar, De Lo Gari Me'aro Ben Necher. So Rav will tell you, look, Rav Acher Bar Yaakov, you're right. You're right, but for a different reason. Meaning, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, if you're not going to be eating Karm Pesach, you still have to eat matzah, and you know how you know that, because you're no different or no worse than an Arel or a Ben Echar. Arel, Ben Echar. Two people who cannot eat Karm Pesach. Arel, not circumcised. Ben Echar, religious issues. Okay. Religiously challenged. But they can't eat Karm Pesach. Titanya kol Arel lo yochal bo. And we know that an Arel can't eat Karm Pesach. Bo eino ochel ava ochel ba b'matzo marer. And the bow tells us that the only thing he's excluded from is Karm Pesach, but he has an obligation to eat matzah and marur. So the idach ksiv b'hai, ksiv b'hai. And what Rav Acher Bar Yaakov will tell you in his defense is, I need two psukim. I need a pasuk regarding the arel and the ben echar. I need a pasuk regarding the tame and the derech rechoka. Utzrich, and they're both necessary. And the Gemara just leaves us off trying to figure out why they're both necessary. But the Gemara says, they're both necessary. Go to the Rashbam over here. Goes through the necessity of both of these groupings. Anyway, Tanya Kavase Derava, the Gemara. We have now a machlokus between Rava and Rav Acher Bar Yaakov. The question on the table is a very simple one. Nowadays, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. We don't have Karm Pesach. Is there a mitzvah in the Torah to eat matzah? Rava will say yes. Rav Acher Bar Yaakov will say no. They're both going to conclude that we're going to eat matzah nowadays, but on what level are we eating? Rav will say it's a din d'oraisa, and Rav Acher Bar Yaakov will say it's a din d'rabbanan. Because Rav Acher Bar Yaakov argues that without Beis HaMikdash, without Karm Pesach, there no longer is a din d'oraisa to eat matzah as well. Okay, of the two, who do we generally follow? So Tosfos on the bottom says we follow like Rava, generally speaking, on this issue, that the eating of matzah nowadays is a din d'oraisa, not a din d'rabbanan. Yes, that's right. In Rav Acher Bar Yaakov says exactly. So we don't have Karm Pesach, so we don't have matzah nowadays, Minat Torah. But Rava will tell you that no, we have another pasuk, but Erev Tochlu Matzos, which makes matzah an independent mitzvah. It's interesting, by the way, just to see how well we understand this Gemara. Marah nowadays, according to everybody, is a din d'rabbanan, not a din d'oraisa. Marah in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, under certain circumstances, even if I'm not eating Karm Pesach, there's a din d'oraisa to eat maror, right? I don't want to confuse you too much. But the reason being is because in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, right, Rav Acher Bar Yaakov just made this point, and Rava really agrees with him. In the time of the Beis HaMikdash, even if you are excluded from Karm Pesach, for whatever reason, you're Tami, you're Derech Rechoka, you're an Arel, you're an Benechar, even though you're excluded from Karm Pesach, but the other foods of the night are still incumbent upon you, Minat Torah. Because the Torah's exclusion is only to Karm Pesach. Meaning the Torah says, Lo Yochal Bo. Don't eat the Karm Pesach, but eat the other foods. So, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, Matzah and Marer were a Din D'Oraisa. Nowadays, Matzah is a Din D'Oraisa, Marer is only a Din D'Rabbanan. I hope I didn't confuse you with that, but that's clear from the Gemara. Gemara quotes the Braisa supports Rava. Tanya kavasi de Rava sheshiyam in tocha matzah. So v'yam hashvi, atzeres l'Hashem elokecha. 6 days you eat matzah. The pasuk is so confusing. Right, 6 days you eat matzah. What do you mean 6 days? I don't get it. Pesach is 7 days. And then it says on Shvi, and on the seventh day, atzeres l'Hashem elokecha. Yontav on the seventh day. But what does that mean? So the Gemara explains, the Brisa explains, Mashvi Rishus, Avsheshes Yamim Rishus. Well, the Torah, by telling you that for 6 days you eat matzah, it means the seventh day you don't have to. It's not necessary. If you want to, you may, but you don't have to. Yeah, that's correct. Meaning correct. It's not a chov, it's not an obligation. It's just simple. It's a mitzvah.
You
don't have to. And then the Gemara says, "My time I have a davish I have a chlal v'yatzam in a chlal lamed lo lamed al atzma yatzam al lamed al chlal kulo yatzam." One of the Yugimo Midrash HaTorah Nidrashas by him. The Rabbi Yishmael has a principle, 13 principles in terms of how to darshan the Torah, methodology. And the Rambam, when he explains Torah Shabbat Peh, the Rambam divides Torah Shabbat Peh into 5 components. So for the Rambam says, this is component number 3. In general, by the way, it's great information that you should generally know. The first component of Torah Shabbat Peh is Perushim HaMukubalim, meaning the simple explanation of the Torah, right? For example, the Ayin Tachas Ayin, right? Torah says if someone pokes your eye, so you poke at his eye. So Perushim HaMukubalim, meaning we know that the correct way to understand the Torah is you don't poke at his eye, but you get monetary compensation for the loss of your eye. Okay, that's Perushim HaMukubalim, right? Esrog, another simple example. The Torah doesn't say Esrog. Torah says Pri Eitz Hadar. What does that mean? Perushim HaMukubalim, meaning we have a certain way we understand the Torah. Okay, that's section 1 of the Torah Shabbat Peh. Section 2 of the Torah Shabbat Peh is Halacha Moshe Misinai. Halachas that are independent of that which is actually in the Torah. Like Shir, like Mechitza. Okay, that's section number 2. Section number 3, Torah Shabbat Peh, the Yud Gimel Midrash HaTorah Nidrashas Mehem. The 13 ways in which we darshan the Torah. That's also part of the Torah Shabbat Peh. That's the Yud Gimel Midos. And then, what's sections 4 and 5 of Torah Shabbat Peh? Gzeros and Takanos. That's part of Torah Shabbat Peh. The rabbinic decrees that were enacted, and the rabbinic institutions that were enacted, they're part of the Torah Shabbat Peh. Anyway, so here we have one of the Yud Gimel Midos HaTorah Nidrashas. One, by the way, which we see very infrequently in the Gemara. Right? I bet you that you can't count. I don't know if this wants to be your next project, but count how many times we use this one of the methodologies. The Torah, right? Davish Bechlal, Torah gives us a general rule, and then what happens is Yatzam and Aklal Allah made, and then there's an exception to the rule. Meaning, what's the rule? Eat matzah. What's the exception to the rule? You know, on the seventh day, you don't have to. So Lo Lala Med Ala Smo Yatzah El Allah Med Ala Klal Kulo Yatzah. That exception no longer is defining just the exception. We take the exception and we apply it to the general rule. Okay, hopefully that wasn't too confusing. It means now that I don't have to eat all 7 days. Okay, again, the rule is eat matzah. The exception is on day 7, you don't have to. You may if you want, but you don't have to. And now we take the exception and we bring it back to the entire 7 days of Pesach. You don't have to. You want to eat matzah, you may, but you don't have to. It's a mitzvah, Ben says it perfectly. It's a mitzvah kiyumi, it's not a mitzvah chiyuvi. So the Gemara says, Afla Larishan Rishas, Tamalomar, sorry, there will be Chavi Yatzam and Akal, Amid Lomid, Asma Yatzal, Amid, Alakal Kul Yatzal. Yacho Afla Laharishan Rishas, what about the first night? Tamalomar, Amatsus Marim Yachlu, and Liala Bizmansha Besam, I'm sorry, Amatsus Marim Yachlu, no, the first night, obligation. Chova to eat matzah that first night. Now that's the only one there's a base of mikdash because the Torah says eat it in conjunction with Karban Pesach. What about us? We don't have Karban Pesach. Now we also have another pasuk of Be'erv Tochlu Matzos which tells us it's an obligation to eat Karban Pesach. It's an obligation to eat matzah on the first night, independent of the Karban Pesach. So we have a braisa supporting the position of Rava, which is that matzah nowadays is a din de araisa, not a din de rabbanan, even though we don't have Karban Pesach. Next Mishnah. Yesheno mitzasan yochlu kulan. Okay, it's a long night. Possible people are going to fall asleep. Possible. It happens. So, if some people fall asleep, yochlu. Right, I read the Mishnah incorrectly the first time. Now let me read it correctly. If some people fall asleep, it's okay, you can continue eating. But kulan, but if everyone at the meal falls asleep, that's it. Lo yochlu. The meal now has come to an end. No eating afterwards. The obvious question. What? Why not? What's the issue?
Isn't it similar to the case where if everybody left on the table, there's some connection to that?
So the Rashbam explains. So the Rashbam says, Yesh to kulan lo yochlu, im hischilu lechol pischan, the yeshnu lo yochlu. If we started to eat our Karban Pesach, and what happens now? We fell asleep. So that's it. When we wake up now, a collective group woke up, don't eat anymore. Why not? It looks like, the Rashbam is going to point out, it's a chumra. It looks like now we're eating Pesach in two different locations. Now geographically, no one budged. Geographically, we're all here. But because we were unconscious, and then we came back to consciousness, so it's ki'ilu, it's as if we're eating in two different locations. It gives the impression that we're eating now in two different locations. And the Rashbam continues to write, I know we're Rashbam heavy today, v'chumra ba'almahu. It's a chumra. It's a stringency. Now, what he doesn't mean by that is, and don't worry about it, no, he's just simply explaining that you're not really eating in two different locations, but because of that impression that it gives, that we were all slipped into a deep unconscious state, and now we come back, so it's ki'ilu, it's as if we're eating in two different locations, and then the meal has come to an end. And then he gives another pshat, which he doesn't enjoy, doesn't appreciate, but anyway, that's the way the Rashbam understands our Gemara. And then the Rashbam goes on to say, and you know what? For us who don't have Karban Pesach, but for us who have matzah, the same halacha would be true. Where if we all fell asleep at the meal, that's it. Meal's over. No more matzah that night. Now, I don't know, to be totally honest with you, what if you didn't eat any matzah yet? Meaning, you're not supposed to eat the matzah anymore? Meaning, even if you haven't fulfilled your obligation? I'm unclear about that. It's hard to imagine. But anyway, that's the understanding of our Mishnah according to the Rashbam. So if some people fall asleep, you're good. If everybody falls asleep, you can't eat the Karban Pesach anymore. Why not? Because it looks like you're eating in two different locations, which you're not allowed to do. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Nisnam Nemu Yochlu. Now, it's not clear, is Rabbi Yossi talking about the first case where some people fell asleep? Or he's talking about where everybody fell asleep? Unclear. But either way, if we didn't go to sleep, but we were deep relaxation. So that's okay. I know. Those are my terms. So deep relaxation is fine, but near the mubah, if you fall asleep, lo yochlu. So then you cannot, you cannot eat anymore. HaPesach achar, I'm sorry. What happens after midnight? So, right, the Karban Pesach now no longer edible. In fact, if I touch it, if I handle it, it's metamese adayim. What we will call it in our terminology is it's no star, it's leftover, because you can't eat it anymore after midnight. Our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. We'll come back to that. A pigle vanosa metamase adayim, and this is true by noser. It's also true by pigle. Pigle also gives off tuma. We'll talk about that tomorrow's daf and tomorrow. Rabbi Yossi Amar nisnam nu yochlu nidemu lo yochlu heichidam nisnam name. So what does that mean nisnam nu? So the Gemara explains what is deep relaxation. I'm Ravashi nimvelo nim tir velo tir. You're sleeping, but you're not sleeping. You're awake, but you're not awake. You're in some consciousness between being awake and aware. Versus just snoring away. Tana Rabban, I'm sorry, Tir Velo Tir. Kagon de Karaleva Ani. Like, say, let's say, for example, right? I know I teach for a living, so I see this. It's not that bad. Not happen in my class. Obviously. But in other words, some, you know, kids in class. Okay, just. Okay, Karile Va'ani, so you call their name, and they're answering, but they don't really know how to give any, they're not alert enough to give any type of rationale or reasoning. If you remind them something, they'll remember, but truth be told is that they're not fully awake and aware. Okay, Gemara is trying to define what that is, what this state is. Abai Ava Yasekav and Rava. Abai was sitting in front of Rabba. Okay, we have many instances. Abai was a student of Rabba. Excuse me. Chazdika Nimnaim. And Rabba was, again, in deep relaxation. So Amalei Minim Kanaimar. So Abai asked the question, oh, okay, good. This is, are you sleeping? Or are you, I should say not sleeping, but are you relaxing, dozing? He says, no, yes, I'm in that middle stage of not sleeping, but dozing, relaxing. Right, I'm somewhere in between awake and asleep. And for me, I can go on and I continue eating. I can continue eating. Now, the Rashbam points out, and these are obvious points, Abai and Rabba are historically after the Chorban Habayis, right? A couple hundred years after Chorban Habayis. And they're having a discussion of whether I can continue eating or not. So the Rashbam points out, number one, this halacha is not just true by Karm Pesach, even though our Mishnah only talks about it in the context of Karm Pesach, it's also true by the matzah as well. That if we all fall asleep, we can no longer eat the matzah. Okay, that's observation number one, and that's what we will say is obvious. Another point to consider is that Abai was clearly awake. It was only Rabba who was dozing off. And they were discussing, have you qualified as a like Rabbi Yossi? And he says, yeah, I'm not sleeping, I'm just dozing. Abai was fully awake. It sounds like that this would be a concern even if only some of them fell asleep. Meaning it sounds like Rav Yossi is qualifying not where they all fell asleep, but even though some of them are falling asleep. Okay, so another point to perhaps consider. All right, anyway, we'll stop over here. This will take us to the next topic, which is Karm Pesach, being Matame Yadayim. We'll continue that tomorrow. Okay, tomorrow.